Let's keep talking.
Hi, my name is Tina, and together with Kaisa over here, we started this podcast called Found in Estonia. This is a podcast that focuses and aims to introduce foreigners who have chosen Estonia as their home and live here now. And the aim of this podcast is to inspire, to show other Estonians how many interesting and cool people we have here living in Estonia, what are they up to, and to bring people more together and to build a more connected community among our listeners and also our guests and other foreigners living in Estonia.
So essentially what we're trying to do is just to bring together two sides that seemingly seem to be very different and not suitable, like puzzle pieces that don't really go together due to culture or background. But, you know, if you live in a country for long enough, you might actually find out that people merge in our own culture much better than you would expect. And it gives you guys a better chance to see as well all the lovely foreigners that are living here in Estonia that you might not hear that much because they are kind of living under the radar, but they're totally worthy of telling their stories. And I think that's what me and Tina are both trying to figure out amongst ourselves and also to share with you guys. Because I don't know about you guys, but I think sharing a lovely story always brings people together. It's like telling fairy tales to kids. That's why, you know, before sleep, parents always tell you stories. And that's how we learn culturally as well. Like stories turn into myths and myths turn into the truth, what we know these days. But sometimes it's important to break the myths and to show a different side to things and to open other people's eyes. So I think this is kind of what we're trying to aim with this podcast thing called Found in Estonia.
Also, why we bring those stories to you, one of the reasons is that we have both lived abroad, and so we know how it is to start over in a foreign setting and to find local friends and how difficult it might be. And in this episode, we're going to introduce ourselves a bit more and tell you guys who we are. And then in the next episodes, it's always going to be one guest who has lived in Estonia, and we're gonna ask different questions, and there will be, like Kaisa said, lots of storytelling and some interesting comparisons of their country, their background, and together comparing it to Estonians. So there's going to be a lot of moments where you, if you know Estonians, if you are an Estonian, you can probably recognize many lovely things.
It's always kind of funny seeing yourself as a nation through someone else's eyes. It's like kind of purest form of reflection that you can get back. It's like kind of asking other people for feedback, but culturally it's going to be very different what you hear back from them. It's kind of like two people speaking different languages. Like we are speaking Estonians, but other people, foreigners coming here, they are speaking, or at least some of them are trying to speak Estonian, but they have their own little quirk and accent to it. And I think it's important to remember all the time that a little accent doesn't mean that they're not trying hard enough. And a little accent might be exactly the thing that is missing from Estonian. So I think through the stories that we are going to portray here and through the people that we are inviting into the show, you might end up seeing a completely different viewpoint about what it means to be Estonian, how other people see Estonia as a country and Estonia as a culture, and maybe to even see ways how we as a nation can improve ourselves in a way to merge better with other people outside of Estonia. Estonia is tiny, and one of the things that we do best is adapt and be very future-oriented. But sometimes communication as a Scandinavian nation might come hard to us because we tend to be quite reserved and take a little bit of time to warm up. But that doesn't mean that other people aren't curious about us, or that we might or would have to be afraid of them. Why not? Different opinions means actually it's culturally more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Also, one of the things that we aim to do with this podcast is to build a community around those foreigners in Estonia. and Estonians who are interested in meeting new people around them but don't know how to get in contact with them, or they want to practice English, or they would be open to help to teach someone Estonian but they don't know how to get in touch with these cool people living here. So one of the aim is to build a community around our listeners, and at one point we can make some events coming together, or if some podcast guests have some bucket list items that they want to go, for example tenting or make a hike or picnics or go ice swimming, so we can arrange that. And that would be super cool if you could do events like that, or and to see how and where this community extends and how we can build that value for all the listeners. And the best way to become a part of this community is to go to our website, which is foundinestonia.ee, and you can leave your email address there, and that's the best way to keep yourself updated when the new episodes are coming out, because as you know, like Facebook and Instagram tend to change their algorithms, so you might lose the information or you might not see it. But the best way to be in touch is to just join the email community, and we're gonna share the updates when the new episodes are coming out, or if we write some cool articles or share tips what those episodes are going to be and so on. So that's the one thing you can do right now and go there.
So essentially just sign up on foundinestonia.ee, and we will send you on occasion an email telling you about new episodes, all the fun stuff that we have planned for you guys. Doesn't matter if you're Estonian or a foreigner living in Estonia, essentially we're all Estonians, and we're trying to just somehow bridge the gap between the cultural differences, and just to show you none of us is very scary, and in the core of us there's always just human beings, and essentially blood is in all of us, so we kind of bleed the same way. It's the same stuff. And what might seem different at a first instance might not seem that different once you heard that person's story, or once you've gotten to know them better or the culture better. So I think it's very important to figure out how other people live outside of our little bubble of Estonia as well, and to also share our culture, because how would we expect other people to know about Estonia if we don't really talk about it that much or tell them what it's like to be an Estonian, what it means to us, and how they can be a part of our culture and how they can step into our world? Because I think it's fairly safe to say that most of the foreigners that end up living in Estonia or end up coming here for a visit are curious about us. They're as curious about us as we are about them. And sometimes even Estonians might seem scary. So let's be gentle. Let them know how we see things and why we see things the way that we do. Because in a lot of cases, it's more a matter of giving them more context rather than just telling them things that have been like this for years and centuries.
Mm-hmm. So as we are two Estonians doing the show and our guests are mainly foreigners, we can tell our viewpoint about being an Estonian, and we can also share our experiences living abroad. So I'm gonna start. I'm Tiina and I'm an Estonian. I was born in Tallinn, Estonia, and I've lived in Tallinn, Estonia my whole life, except times when I haven't lived in Estonia, which I was an exchange student during high school, so I lived 1 year in Belgium, and that was my first time living abroad without my family and staying there for 1 year. That was in the beginning a bit scary, but I learned a new language, I learned Dutch, and I also lived in a local family, so it was quite easy to be part of the local community. My host family was introducing me to all the culture things, and I went to a local school, so I was constantly surrounded by locals. And my second time when I lived abroad was during university, when I did my exchange semester in Switzerland. And at that time I went to the university, so I was surrounded with local Swiss people in my course, and I also lived in a shared apartment with four Swiss guys. So I got to ask them, and I got to hang out with Swiss people a lot, which was nice. And then after living in Switzerland and doing the exchange semester, I did an internship in Austria for 3 months. And so I was working there for 3 months. And then I did a volunteering month in Nepal. And my most recent living abroad experience was 1 year ago, or a bit more now.
Have you forgotten where you were?
I'm always trying, like, automatically saying, yeah, it was a year ago, but actually it's been a bit more now. But I was living in New York City, so in the United States, for 1 year again. And I was also part of a program called PUF. So I did a professional internship, which means that I was working in a local company for a year. And that was my, last latest experience living abroad. So I've moved quite a lot between those countries, and there's been a lot of new beginnings. And I feel like with each of those moves, I've become a lot more like efficient in a sense, or like I know how to, I feel like I have a rhythm of like how to find friends or what to do. And I've always found, well, the first time in Belgium, that was the hardest experience to find local friends. But the second time and third and so on, I found really, really good friends over there and friends who I keep in touch with. So it's been really nice experiences. And I love introducing Estonia to wherever I'm living, to foreign people. And it's always nice to come back, because then I have this fresh eyes. At least in the beginning, I appreciate Estonia a lot, because I tend to compare it automatically, like, oh, back in New York, there was no way to walk barefoot anywhere. But in Estonia, like, you can just go to a park, or if you live in a private house, like, such small choice that you can do, or just take a car and drive like 30 minutes and you end up in a forest or by the seaside, which you couldn't really do in New York, and so on. So tiny things like that, which I really enjoy. And I know as well how hard it is to get in touch with local people while living abroad. So that's why it's also really important and close to my heart to do this, to build this community, or to give my input to it, and to introduce this really cool and interesting and exciting people who are like enriching our Estonian community by living here and sharing their stories and bringing their foods and traditions to us as well.
All right. So I have a question for you. After living in, what is it now, 5 countries?
5 countries, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So after living in 5 different countries, what does being Estonian mean to you?
So I feel like when I've lived abroad, and many people who have lived abroad, they already have this automatic recording. Like, so when somebody asks, where are you from? What do you do? Then you have this, it comes like a recording already.
Okay, so what's your recording?
My recording depends what I'm doing, but pretty much it's like, yeah, hi, I'm Tina, spelled with 2 I's, which is usually a really uncommon thing. I'm from Estonia, which is a tiny country in Europe. And then it's always like you pay attention if the other person has any reaction to it or not. Surprisingly, in New York, there was quite a lot of people who were like, oh, cool, yeah, Estonia, I've heard of it. I just read an article in New York Times about it and things like that. But for example, in Belgium, I was so surprised that people were like, maybe it was back in 2010, so maybe then it was less talked about, but like people were asking like, oh, Estonia, do you have TVs there? Or oh, Estonia, I thought it's a made-up country for Eurovision.
Of course. We're living in Stone Hudson, actually hunting mammoths by day.
Of course.
Okay, but in terms of like, if I were to ask you like, who's an Estonian, how would you define yourself or your Estonianism than inside of you, especially after you've lived like in different countries? Mm-hmm. I think you're no longer a core Estonian, or like a, I don't know, a rough, you know, rough gold piece of an Estonian, mm-hmm. but you have already been changed. So is there a difference like after you've been immersed in so many different cultures in you, as when people ask you like, what does being Estonian mean?
Well, I have to say, not many people have asked me what does being an Estonian mean for you, but I definitely feel like I've become a lot more open-minded by living abroad and seeing so many like different cultures. And for example, when I was in Nepal for a month, then I was volunteering as a designer in a local like a women's development group, and then hanging out with many locals as well. And then the contrast was obviously the biggest. And then after coming back from there, for example, I really felt like, oh my God, Estonia is so clean. I'm so proud to be born in Estonia in Europe. Like I have this passport that I can just go and travel and I have so much freedom in here. So I begin to appreciate these small things a lot. And of course, then I understood how big of a privilege it is to have white skin color. So after all of those experiences, I feel like being an Estonian means for me really to have so many opportunities to do stuff. You just have to be active and to be willing to put yourself out there or to give an effort. And then there are so many possibilities in Estonia and being an European. So, and I really like living in Estonia. I do like living abroad as well. And I plan to, I really want to do it again, but not for like, I can't picture myself staying forever in some other countries. You never know. But right now I enjoy living in Estonia. And I feel as an Estonian, I really appreciate the seaside, a perfect mixture of having nature really close by, all the opportunities to being a multilingual person, having white skin color, having the borders open for, well, your passport is opens so many borders for you. And yeah, I feel like it's really good thing to be an Estonian. And in New York, for example, it was a good conversation starter as well. Like, for example, for my accent, when I went there, I really thought that, oh, I would love to have an American accent because that's so much cooler. Until somebody told me, like, what? Why do you want it? Like, your accent is so sexy. So I was like,
oh, la la.
Oh, okay. I'm never.
Are you sure he wasn't hitting on you? Or was it a she?
It was a she, actually.
Are you sure she wasn't hitting on you?
No, no. She was just super friendly. And then afterwards, I understood that that's actually a good thing as well in New York. There's so many multilingual, or not multilingual, but people with different backgrounds. So it's the best or really good conversation starter. Like when you hear someone's accent, you're like, oh, where are you from? And then you can go on and start talking. But if you can't hear any accent, then it's like, okay, you have to come up with another way to start the conversation.
Okay, so instead of being ordinary, you were unique due to your accent. Mm-hmm. How many languages do you actually speak?
I speak 5 languages.
Oh, wow. What are those?
Estonian is my native language, then English, then German, ooh, then Dutch, and then Russian, and then, oh, I actually recently started learning Spanish, but that's like really, really basic still, like really, really basic. So.
Do you have a favorite language?
I really enjoy expressing myself in different languages. I don't think I have a favorite language. Depends in which country I am.
And why do you enjoy it?
I really like being able to just to express myself in different languages. And when I go and travel or move to another country, then it's so nice. You understand the jokes a lot more. You understand the traditions if you speak the language, and you just feel so much more connected with locals. So that's why I feel like it opens up a lot of way to communicate with others.
The one thing that I've noticed as well is that if you speak the language of the country where you go to live for a longer period of time, mm-hmm, the locals will actually give you a different experience as well than when you don't learn the language or don't even learn the basics. Like, and I think it's, yeah, like how you were saying, you are able to connect with the people more thoroughly than you would normally if you were to speak a foreign language in there. So mm-hmm, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's really cool. You know so many languages. Is it easy to learn new languages?
It's not easy, but I feel like I have no block around it. Mm. Or like when I start learning it, I never think that it's impossible. I always think like, well, if my teacher can speak it, if the locals can speak it, of course I can learn it. So I feel like this mindset is like, when I moved to Switzerland or to Belgium, I never like hesitated that I could learn the local language. It was like logical that I could learn it. So that has been really helpful. And I usually, how I started speaking Dutch was also like, when I knew some words already, then I just try to put them in a sentence as soon as possible and just don't think about the grammar. My grammar in most of those languages is not the perfect one, but I can get my point across, which is, I think, for me, it's most important. So that helps a lot to learn and to actually start speaking it. Yeah.
So what do you do these days? Like, now you've told us your whole story about how you've been to different countries, learned different languages. What is it that you do right now? What has brought you to this idea of actually creating the podcast besides the connecting with foreigners part?
So today in Estonia, I studied actually Arts Academy, product design, industrial design. So I've always been interested in design and also in entrepreneurship, in strategy, in marketing. And I've always been interested in combining all four or five. How many did I got? All of those. And I'm also interested in real estate investing and graphic design. So I have my own company that I do like project-based things, either graphic design or marketing a bit for social media or project management and things like that. And I feel like this podcast is also a good way to connect all of those passions of mine.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. You're an artsy person then, I guess.
Yeah, designy.
Designy. Oh, is there a difference between artsy and designy in your head?
Oh, if you go to ECA, then you learn that there is a difference.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I skipped part.
No, the main thing that was taught for me was that artists do things for themselves and designers do things for others.
Oh.
So designers solve problems of others and artists solve problems of themselves.
Actually, that when you think about it, yeah, it's kind of... I mean, you could combine those, I guess. So you could do design for the name of art, but you can't really like solve someone else's problem by doing art for them.
Mm.
That's interesting. I never thought about that kind of unique viewpoint.
Now you have a new thing to think about.
Yeah, must be the Arts Academy thing.
Yeah, maybe. But what about you, Kaisa? You have lived abroad as well, so tell us your story or background. And where did you grow up in Estonia?
Oh, that's a good question. So, yes, hello, my name is Kaisa. I'm 34 years old. I come from Tartu. Tartu is the second biggest city in Estonia. And yes, I've practiced my whole life saying that to all the foreigners because everybody mostly knows Tallinn. Nobody really knows Tartu. So, and for those that don't know Tartu still but are living in Estonia, then there you go. Tartu is the second biggest city in Estonia and is known as the university city and the city of good thoughts. Mostly how I would describe it, Tartu is the place where time stands still. It's kind of like a little bit like an artsy hipster town, but that's mostly due to the youth of all the university students and the variety of the university students. So because of the university, a lot of foreigners find their way to Tartu, and that kind of really spruces up the city and the way how it feels like there's a lot of cultural background going on in there as well, and a lot of like young people running around and trying to make their dreams come true. And of course, also there are people who are teaching in the university, the lecturers that are foreigners or that are doing research. So that's kind of the short story of what Tartu is. Most people don't get further than Tallinn. And most young people growing up in Tartu, I think, that's my personal understanding, is they want to get out of Tartu. And so did I. So for the first 18 years, I studied in Tartu, graduated from school, and 2 days after graduation, I took the first bus to Tallinn to live here and find a job here. One of the main reasons why I came to Tallinn was because at the time I wanted to become an architect. And the only place where you could teach or where you could learn architecture was in Tallinn. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came, you could say I could came here to make my dream come true. Little did I know that you have to be a little bit more... how should I say, more science-y and well-versed in physics if you want to become an architect. So all was great until everything had to do with a lot of artsy stuff and maths. But when it came to construction calculus, I failed miserably. And even though the architecture dream never really came true in the form that I imagined when I was still 18 years old and bushy-eyed and wide-eyed and, you know, kind of just wanted to take over the world, I stayed in Tallinn for 13 years. In between the 13 years, I actually had the chance to live for 3 or 4 months in Berlin. There was a work exchange program thanks to Skype. At the time, eBay had bought Skype, so I got to go to their Berlin headquarters and work from there and get immersed in German culture. And because I had also a German boyfriend, then it was fairly easy for me to kind of fly in there with my German skills and pretend that I don't even know what Estonia is all about. So I think I... there's the saying, fake it till you make it. I think that should be part of my life motto. Because wherever I've gone, I kind of managed to adapt pretty well, or like kind of mimic the surroundings around me. And to learn the language in a way as well, where it's like close to what the locals would speak it. So yeah, that was Germany. And then another longer period, I just came back less than a year ago from Ireland. I lived there for 2 years in another city called Galway, which is very similar to Tartu, oddly enough. It's also a culture and arts and music center, or as they call it, the party town of Ireland. And from there, although I really tried hard, I never got the Irish accent. I got just maybe a few keywords here and there, but that's about it. And I also got the way how to explain my name to foreigners. So Tina had a funny story about Tina with double I's. Mm-hmm. I actually had to tell people how they need to pronounce my name. So it's Kaisa is pronounced as if you say hi guys and add an R in the end. And then you have to make sure it's an S like a snake, not S like a shake. So it's very important distinctions that you would never think as an Estonian to have to explain to another person.
That's an interesting way to explain it.
Well, sure. Other than that, if I wouldn't have done that, they would have called me Geisha and Kaisha or Kaiser, which was very common in Germany. They always call me the Caesar, for those that don't know German. So yeah, it's kind of funny to see how people... see us as Estonians coming to different countries as well, and how they perceive our names and even our cultural backgrounds. Most of my experiences in other countries have been that people do know where Estonia is, at least in Germany and Ireland. But having traveled a lot for work, there have been occasions where people have been unaware about where Estonia is. So it's kind of funny as well, whenever I think about it, how I describe where Estonia is. We have certain things that we say, and you know, sometimes you don't really think about it, but it's like, okay, so Estonia is a tiny country in Europe, similar to what you said. I usually put in there that it's part of Scandinavia. It's across the sea from Finland. It's one of the Baltic states, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And then when nobody really gets where we are, then my final resort is, yeah, you know, our next door neighbor is Russia. And then boom, people absolutely figure out where we are.
Really?
Yeah. And it's so funny. But, you know, for me personally, this is like the last thing that I mentioned, because I think Estonians in general want to be more considered as the Baltic countries or the Scandinavian countries, or just to even understand what type of people we are, to associate more with Finns, for instance, because it's a Finno-Ugric thing, right? And if people ask me like what Estonians are like, then usually I tell them pretty reserved, pretty closed-minded, and nothing like me. So I have to always give like extra explanations to the fact that I am Estonian and I am nothing like Estonians. Because otherwise people would think that Estonians are, you know, super open-minded, super chatty, super like, I don't know, out there. For those that cannot see me right now, I have blue hair, which kind of tends to stick out. And I'm not even trying to hide the fact that I am from Estonia. Most of people are just, how should I say, maybe they're a little bit surprised about the languages. That's one of the things. And secondly, yeah, when you start telling them the story of Estonia, then it's really funny how even if they know where Estonia is, they haven't really much heard about Estonia. I would say the last 15, 20 years have actually been crucial in terms of like the knowledge of the world about Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, we have to be like super grateful to our former presidents, to the startup culture that we have in here. Because whenever I tell people about Estonia, I have something really awesome to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, oh, we have amazing nature. You can have wireless in the middle of the forest. One of the things that you will notice is not the case in Ireland, for instance. or the fact that, you know, we're a startup country, that anybody can start a company in Estonia fairly easy. And because Estonia is so small, you have a huge chance to make it out in the world as well. And the costs are really low. Then there's the e-voting part, of course, which we all love and praise all the time. But
mm-hmm.
in general, like, I don't know about you, but I really don't want to do my taxes not online, waiting in line in some sort of a tax office. Like, I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I wouldn't be able to make my taxes in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know? I can't really picture that either.
it's super weird, but when you're not in living in Estonia, then mm-hmm. you don't really realize it, because other countries, they're just bigger and it takes them more time to do things that we have done in the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Estonia, in that sense, is a really, really young country.
Yeah.
And then there was one more thing. Oh, now I forgot.
Okay, so how would you describe you being an Estonian, or how do you identify as an Estonian? What does it mean for you?
I think for me, and I have answered that question before as well, for me, most of the time, I usually tell people that I am from Estonia and
mm-hmm.
I speak Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through speaking Estonian, that's already our cultural heritage. And I don't think that... I don't know. It's the traditions that we carry in here, and the fact that we know the language should be already more than enough to call ourselves Estonian. So I think anybody that lives in Estonia and knows Estonian language or conveys Estonian traditions should be already considered as an Estonian. So yeah, I don't think that there's anything other than that that would make me specifically Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, my personality definitely isn't what I would consider a stereotypical Estonian to be like. And it's not even me trying to make myself a unicorn. But it's like, yeah, I think part of the fact that I have traveled so much and
mm-hmm.
I have met so many foreigners and I really like connecting with the foreigners is
mm-hmm.
the fact that it has opened my mind to so many different cultures and so many different opinions and viewpoints. That I think after you've seen so much, you can't anymore close your eyes. You can't like go back into the closet and say, nope, other cultures do not exist. I do not understand where they come from. What is this all about?
Yeah, and, it's pretty yeah. hard to do that after like seeing so much of the world.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's one of the best things that I've actually managed or been able to do in my life. I really enjoy meeting new people from different cultures, because we might think we have a certain like opinion about them
mm-hmm.
Through media or through things that we've learned in school or through things that media tells us, but actually meeting the other person, you, if you are interested and if you're curious about other people, you will see that below everything else on the surface, we are the same. And I think for me, that is like one of the things that I really value and appreciate about meeting foreigners and even
mm-hmm.
living in foreign countries. Being immersed in some other culture, you come to appreciate what you have in Estonia more. And I totally agree with that. By the way, banking on an app. If you have mobile banking, that is fortune. That is like absolute fortune. You do not realize that.
What do you mean by that?
Like, for instance, in Ireland, you know, the amount of banking mobile apps there
mm-hmm.
is about, I think 3 banks out of 4 have that. And mm-hmm. what you have in there is the most basic essential. Even the fact that bank transfers move from like one account to another mm-hmm. one, even if it's the same bank, mm-hmm. a couple of days, this just blows my mind, because I cannot like grasp how is it that in Estonia it's possible in a matter of seconds and in another country not at all.
Actually, that is something that I, like, after living in New York and seeing how Americans do it, I was like really scared of coming back to Estonia, because there they use this app called Venmo mm-hmm. and it's so common that you go to a restaurant or you go eat out, everybody orders stuff, they never divide the bill, so you get one big bill, one person pays, and everybody's like, okay, I'm gonna Venmo you. And Venmo is like a it looks like a social media app, but yeah. just with 2 clicks you can just send money and it transfers, and yeah. it's so easy. And before coming back I was really scared of like, oh my god, Estonia is still using those banking like apps, oh, that you God. Have to make more clicks.
God, you don't know how well we have it. It's already an advancement. Like,
it's so funny.
Yeah, but it is funny. Like, once you've mm-hmm. gone and experienced something different, then coming back is so much more stranger. Mm. And I don't know how it was for you, but for me, actually, coming back from both of those occasions, like, mm-hmm. first time from Germany, I had a culture shock of Estonia. I didn't mm-hmm. have a culture shock when I went there. Mm-hmm. I had it when I came back, because the clash of the environment that I was in and the environment that I came back with, even though it was supposed to be very familiar to me, was so much more scarier mm-hmm. than actually going to a foreign country. And the same time around, like now when I came back from Ireland, yeah, funny story, but I pretended to be a foreigner for a week or two after I got back, because I don't know, I just somehow felt that there's a difference once you start speaking Estonian again. And I'm not saying this because I was ashamed to be Estonian or that I don't want to be Estonian. It's just somehow it's easier when you are further away from your country to actually be more true to yourself.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it is then you who is an Estonian who's very open-minded or you who is an Estonian who's reserved. Mm-hmm. But you're somehow not affected by the cultural norms that usually surround you when you live in Estonia. And like it is,
mm-hmm, I agree.
The further away you are from home, the more unique you are considered.
That's true. That's definitely true. I really liked going to different events in New York, and there are so many like smaller get-togethers, like brunches and breakfast coffee series and so on. And when I wanted to speak with people who I admired and like who I got inspired, it was so easy to go like, hi, I'm Tina, I'm from Estonia, and start by that. And that was so easy. And like, because how many Estonians have they met? Like, probably almost none, so...
Basically, you're the first Estonian. You're gonna give them a vision of what mm-hmm. Estonia or being Estonian is mm-hmm. for the first time around. And you could either make it or break it. You could tell them the good stories, or you could be the worst possible stereotypical Estonian there is out there.
Don't be that.
And how bad would it be? Like, that would be the first and last time when that person meets an Estonian. There aren't that many of us.
That's true.
And even though that's the thing, mm-hmm. the amount of Estonians I met on the other side of the world is just mind-blowing. Like,
I met Estonians almost everywhere as well.
Like, so weird.
It's really funny. And it's funny that some Estonians are super friendly, but like few of them are like, oh, I'm super excited, like, oh, you speak Estonian. And then they're like, yes, and why? Mix Minara or something, then I'm super shocked.
But I think it's also the same kind of cultural thing like we were talking about. The further away you are from Estonia, the more unique you are. And mm-hmm. what I've noticed as well is that sometimes people go away from Estonia because they don't associate themselves with Estonia. Mm-hmm. And it's not even necessarily like the cultural background that we have in here, but it's somehow then when you go away and immerse yourself in another culture, then it's, I don't know, I think you have to leave a certain part of yourself behind as well. And sometimes it's easier to fully immerse in some other culture and, you know, mm-hmm. become part of it. Like if you live in New York, be a New Yorker full on. Then you get true. The full mm-hmm. experience. But the more you hold on to your cultural background or the old traditions mm-hmm. that you have, the less you're going to experience. Or at least you're gonna, how should I say, prohibit yourself from experiencing it fully. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm saying that, I don't think that people should forget about where they come from or their cultural background. But I think being Estonian is more than, you know, just being a stereotypical Estonian.
Mm-hmm. So how many languages do you speak?
Oh, God. Fluently, I speak Estonian, mm-hmm. English, German, semi-fluent, I would say Russian by now. Mm-hmm. and then I know a little bit of like other languages, like I know a little bit of French, a little bit of Spanish that mm-hmm. I'm also learning right now because I want to go to Spain. Mm-hmm. A little bit of French because you used to have a French boss and I wanted to know what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. Some Polish.
Oh, how did you, what is the story behind that?
I had a Polish boyfriend.
Okay.
But here's a tip. If you want to learn a language, get a boyfriend.
Okay.
Or move into that country. Two ways. Usually mm-hmm. it's love or the necessity that will get you
okay,
there.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
I don't know. I think that's it from the language part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of languages. So 4 fluently and then a lot of them.
Yeah, I think a little bit of like... I always believe that when you go to a certain country, it's essential to know at least the basics, like mm-hmm. just to give like the initial respect or not to mm-hmm. the culture where you're going. And I think the only reason why I speak just a little bit of those mm-hmm. is because I haven't spent enough time in there. Like I know a little bit of Portuguese because I was there for 2 weeks. Yay, 2 weeks. I was pretty okay for a foreigner living in Portugal for mm-hmm. 2 weeks. But when it comes to like actually forming sentences in that language, no, I wouldn't be able to do mm-hmm. that. But I think it's the same kind of thing that Estonians have with foreigners. Like, it's a difference when you start your first meetup by saying "Tere, minu nimi on," instead of like "Hi, my name is," mm-hmm. where it's kind of, you know, you're kind of assuming the other person speaks English already, which to both of you most likely is a foreign language, but still. And if you live in Estonia, I think it's important to at least know the basics of Estonian. You can always build on top of that, but it's like kind of a respect thing for me, knowing Estonian. Even if, for me, I've been lucky to have been born with the ability to speak Estonian. Mm-hmm. So I have, I feel for the people that come here and try to learn Estonian, because from what I've understood, it's a very complicated language. And if you ever tried to study, let's say, Finnish, you will understand, yes, it is very complicated, because those two languages are at least like the closest to each other.
Mm-hmm. But it's doable.
It's doable. Everything is doable. Yeah. Like if you have enough motivation, you can learn any language.
Yeah, I agree.
You just have to want to. And also the other part of it is you have to find and surround yourself with people who actually speak Estonian as well. Because I call this an Estonian comfort zone, which means that foreigners come here, they try to learn Estonian. What do Estonians do? Most of the time, they start speaking with them in English or in their language, because they also need practice in that other person's language. So I've had a lot of occasions where foreigners come here, they try and they want to learn Estonian, but nobody speaks to them in Estonian, which is so funny to me. It's like, we bitch and moan about the fact that Estonian isn't spoken by so many people and foreigners that come here, but at the same time, we're making it fairly easy for them, just because we are curious as well, and we want to test our own like abilities. So.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. For me as well, like sometimes I notice when a foreign person comes to the conversation or a group of people, then everybody automatically switches to English.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, it's always a two-way thing. Like, you want them to feel comfortable, you want them to understand, but at the same time, you know they want to learn Estonian, but then they wouldn't catch, like, most of the things that are said. So it's always, like, tricky. But for me, like, living abroad, it was also, like, when I almost spoke the language, it was so exhausting to be in a group of people where you can only understand like half of it, and then the jokes are told and you're like, ha ha ha, I think I got it, but I'm not quite sure, but yeah, I hope nobody's going to ask any specifics because I didn't got it totally, fully, but yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, it's weird, and I think part of the fact as well is that knowing a lot of languages actually opens up the world mm-hmm. to you and different cultural experiences. It definitely is eye-opening, even when it comes down to like the linguistical part of it, like the way how different things are said and the origin stories of the words, even the origin story of Estonian. Like, it's very unique that there is a, You know, a tiny country in Europe where like 1.3 billion people speak Estonian, and it's cherished. And it's not like we have to force Estonians to learn Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be unique. We want to learn this language. And I think as much as we can, we should try to hold on to that. But at the same time, also be open-minded to the fact that to learn other languages, because it opens ourselves up to the rest of the world. So yeah, I think that's one of the main things that I've learned from traveling around and I don't know, experiencing mm-hmm. the world the most. So yeah, for the last 9 months I've lived in Estonia. I came mm-hmm. back to here and suddenly I felt like no more Tallinn is my place, mm-hmm. even though I lived here for 13 years before going to Ireland. After living in Galway, Tartu, my hometown, felt mm-hmm. Really at home again, which is super weird. But when I think about it, I think it makes sense because living in Galway kind of slowed me down as well. It was similar kind of university city. So essentially, it was kind of like me living in my hometown and trying to slow myself down. And mm-hmm. coming to Estonia, I always say when people ask what's the difference between Tallinn and Tartu, it's like Tallinn is a great city when you are like 20 plus something.
Mm-hmm.
You want to experience a lot of things. It's fast paced. You want to learn. You want to meet a lot of different cultures, different people. It's a busy city. And it's amazing if you're just starting out your life. But after 30, maybe it makes me sound really old. But I kind of feel like I wanted to slow down a little mm-hmm. bit. And I wanted to seize the moment a little bit more. And mm-hmm. I wanted to like kind of take a minute mm-hmm. to embrace everything that, you know, life has for me. And to just pick and choose where I want to go. And to kind of, yeah, also to look inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's this very spiritual part of Estonian, like where we are always hiding away in isolation.
Mm, yeah. I'm 27, so Tallinn is still like good size and busy. But for me, like after coming back from New York, I felt like, oh, Tallinn is so peaceful and nice. And I really got like super exhausted in New York because I knew that I'm going to live there for a year. So I tried to take the maximum out of it and I got kind of burned out and like really tired. So afterwards I was like, oh, it's so nice to just relax in a tiny city, Tallinn. You can walk almost everywhere, you can bike almost everywhere,
yeah.
and you can just go out of the town so like easily and so on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seaside.
I don't know if people realize it, but the fact that you can walk from one side of the city to another mm-hmm. just on foot without yeah. having to take trams or metro or bus or anything, that's just beauty on its own. Like that's why Estonian people are healthy. Like we have tiny cities. We don't have to all the time carpool and run around and spend so much time of the day in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also like one of those awesome things that you don't realize until you've lived somewhere abroad and had to wait for a bus that maybe never comes or has a schedule of who knows when.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. So it's really, really odd. But you only notice these things, yeah, when you've been away and you come back.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're here, it seems like, oh, it's just, you know, that's the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
But going away, like, yeah, it's kind of very eye-opening. And oddly enough, when I was living in Ireland, I was constantly talking about, but back in Estonia, we do it like that, which is like, what? Oh, I came to Ireland, better experience Ireland. But I saw in Ireland something that I maybe don't see that much in Estonia anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of opportunity there.
Mm.
Opportunity okay. in that sense that a lot of what we already have mm-hmm. hasn't been even built there, which means that if I were to want to like go there mm-hmm. and actually expand myself and my knowledge and make a difference, mm-hmm. I could. Whereas in Estonia, maybe the same problem has already been 3 times solved by 3 different startups. You know?
Interesting. Yeah, that's also one of the things that when I was living in Switzerland, I felt like, okay, it's so nice and comfortable to live in Switzerland. Everything is good quality. You go to a grocery store, they're really small, but they have like 3 brands of everything. Quite expensive, but super high quality. And then I felt like it's really comfortable to live here, but you can't really do much because everything is already in place, like systems are in place. And then I was like, okay, Estonia is so nice place to, like, you have so many opportunities. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, like, everybody compares it to, like, different countries, but it's interesting to hear, like, compared to Ireland, you felt the opposite.
Yeah, I think it's the same also with Germany and other big countries. The one big thing that Estonia has ahead of everybody else is the fact that we are tiny and we're unique,
mm-hmm.
and you can fairly quickly test if something works or not. Like, mm-hmm. if it starts to, you know, flare up in here, it most likely will in the rest of the world. And in a lot of cases as well, a lot of the things that have been done in bigger countries have not been done yet in Estonia, which means the vice versa works as well. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see something really cool in other countries, you can bring it back to Estonia and, you know, start it here,
mm-hmm.
Without that, you know, big company coming here and doing it in for us. And I remember talking about this as well, that people in Estonia seem to always want to invent their own thing. It's like in the rest of the world, there's Kickstarter, we have Hooandja, mm-hmm. for instance. Or the rest of the world has Uber, we have Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's like, we have to have like our own little unique thing in there as well sometimes. It doesn't always work out, but I think in a lot of cases it does. And we like to think that we are much more unique than the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's true. So, and what do you do these days in Tartu?
Yeah. So I'm actually a freelancer. I have my own company too. Mm-hmm. The long story short, I never graduated as an architect, but instead wanted to go and pursue my graphic design dream,
mm-hmm.
after years of working in IT industry and tech startups, as a marketeer, trainer, customer service representative, whatever. I ended up going back to school and finishing and getting my graphic designer degree, actually 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Which is very, very interesting. When you think about it, like, going back to school when you're like 30 something, it's super weird compared to when you're going back to school when you're like either 18 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, yeah, I was super motivated to actually finish my degree the third time around.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, these days, actually, I work as a graphic designer, an artist, an illustrator. I do a lot of creative things. I tend to call myself a creative entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially what it means is that anything that is creative, I do, like, be it then podcasting, be it then video editing, be it then, you know, painting a picture, drawing illustrations, or doing graphic design. So
mm-hmm.
I mostly dabble in print design. I enjoy stuff that I can actually touch later mm-hmm. on, rather than like web design or UX or UI design. I leave that to the professionals. I'm a different kind of professional.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of those things that I do these days. But in between there, I've tried out many different things, like singing on stage, hosting TV shows, what else? Being a model on catwalk. I did that in Ireland, which was very cool.
Wow.
It was a lingerie show, which was even more.
Okay.
That was my first catwalk.
That's
brave. And, well, yeah. Like I said, when you're further away from Estonia, the more anonymous you feel, the more bold you get,
yeah.
the more courageous you get. And that's what I really, really enjoyed. Like I was
mm-hmm.
saying, in Ireland, I could do a lot of the things
mm-hmm.
that I can't or haven't done in here. Like in Ireland, I had my first art exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
30 years old, I never had it in Estonia because I never thought it would be possible here.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, in my time in Ireland, I had 4 different art exhibitions.
Oh, wow,
and I was part of 2 festivals.
So cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And, you know, it makes me just think, how come mm-hmm. it's not possible in here?
Well,
What's going on?
I've actually had an art expedition here,
yeah.
So it is possible.
Yeah, well, I know. I've seen people do that. It's just somehow it kind of came together really easy over there
mm-hmm.
And not as easy over here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's also the Irish nature of, you know, people genuinely wanting to help you and, you know, having a friend of a friend of a friend that knows
mm-hmm.
somebody. Because literally my first exhibition invitation or even information about where I could do it
mm-hmm.
came through, I don't know, random contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Not even
That's
people
really
that
cool.
knew, so.
Yeah, I totally agree that when you're like further away from home, then it's easier to take like bigger leaps, or you're
yeah.
already out of your comfort zone, so you can just step a bit further.
Yeah, nobody knows you anyway in
yeah.
there, so you kind of like...
Yeah. For example, when I was in Austria, then I was like, where should I go next? Because I was really excited of extending my time abroad more, and then I found the opportunity to go to Nepal, and it seemed like, oh yeah, I'm already abroad. It's such a like small thing to do, or like not that big of a thing. But I don't think I would have like dared to do it when living in Estonia, because you're like more in your cocoon or in your comfort zone here or something. So that's an interesting thing.
It's funny, the more you spend time in Estonia, let's say after you lived abroad, mm-hmm. the more comfortable you get.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think it's super important to be aware of that, that every once in a while we have to like step outside of our comfort zone and, you know, immerse ourselves in other things that are possible
mm-hmm.
If we at least like dare to believe it. And I think in foreign countries it's just the thing, nobody knows you anyway, so
yeah, that's true. In Estonia you're like, oh my god, I think then he lived like two houses away from me, and this is a friend of friend in Facebook and da-da-da. So I feel like I would love to experiment like living here as a foreigner more, or like with the mindset of like, okay, I'm gonna live here as I would in like living abroad. I think that would be a lot really refreshing. Or like
I remember experiencing that in Berlin, where it was like, I always took time to go and explore what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. I was living in like a certain part of the city, and like, you know, on the weekend I didn't have much to do. So I was just walking around in the neighborhood, and just this tiny little streets. Mm-hmm. And that's how I like realized, oh wow, there's like three tiny cinemas around me. And you know, there's this like, I don't know, weird castle and a park. Oh, and lovely graffiti. I never do that in Estonia, mm-hmm. like, which is super weird, because I would probably find out more about, let's say, Tartu or Tallinn mm-hmm. or whatever place that I live in, if I were to look around here with the same kind of awe and eyes that I do when I am in a foreign country. Because usually they're, like you said, it's a limited experience. So you're kind of like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah, but definitely.
Actually, the same applies in Estonia as well. Like, the same applies when you're living at home. You never know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had so many photos of just random things, like taking photos on the street on, like, graffiti, exactly, or, like, weird houses. And in Estonia, I'm like, when I came back, I took a lot more photos. And then now it's like, yeah, I've seen that house before.
Same.
Okay. Oh, that's new. Well, okay, it will be here tomorrow. That's okay.
It's weird. I tried this time around when I came back to actually take time when I went back to my hometown. To go and see some of the museums, like the National Museum. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was renting a bike and actually did like a whole, like, you know, cycle through of the city to see places where I hadn't been before or that had changed dramatically in the last 15 years when I hadn't lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also one of the things that made me fall in love again with Tartu, because I understood that there's adventure there too that I didn't see before, or that I didn't pay attention to before.
Yeah, I feel like I always enjoy having foreign friends coming to Estonia, and I enjoy showing them around, because that's exactly like just noticing what they're noticing. Like a friend of mine from Belgium came to Tallinn, and we were walking in Old Town, and she was like, wow, it's so funny that you have only like pink buildings here. And I was like, really?
Do we?
I have never noticed that. Or like President's Castle is pink. I've never thought about that. Or in the Old Town, there are so many pink and yellowish and orange buildings. Have you noticed?
No, and now I've actually started thinking this.
And their government house and so on.
Oh yeah, that one I know. But I was just wondering, because we came here before as well. We are recording in a studio in Workland Market today, which is super awesome. They have a podcast room. And I didn't actually notice it. Was this house pink?
This one, not, I think, because I think it's a new building, but it had like bricks outside. But if you go to like Old Town, now you will definitely notice.
But isn't it weird? Like now when we leave this place, we're going to check out what is the color of this building. And just because all of a sudden we got into this question, it's like the same kind of questions like, how do frogs have babies? Or I don't know. You know, one of those odd questions that you never ask, but that kids ask.
Yeah,
and they always go around with their big eyes and full of curiosity. Oh my god, how is this done?
Yeah, and I really love those moments. Exactly, like when foreign friends are coming and you start noticing things from a different angle. And like, that's something that I hope we will do more with this podcast as well. That you hear like somebody from Mexico coming to Estonia and she has noticed something about like kilu võileib or something, and then you start thinking, oh yeah, that fish is actually like quite raw, right?
Yeah,
and you haven't really thought about it before, and then like tiny things like that.
Yeah, it's odd. I think having a different unique perspective will give us a unique perspective as well.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope that, you know, essentially for me, this podcast should be something that should celebrate the fact that we are Estonian and to kind of elaborate a little bit more about what being Estonian means and to kind of welcome other people from different cultures to come here as well and bring their own cultural richness into this, what we consider to be Estonian. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's going to take over. And I think a lot of people are very fearful of foreign people coming to Estonia because of that, because mm-hmm. they're very worried about the fact that they're going to lose their culture. But hey, people, we've been around here for 100 years. We have still our own language, our own unique traditions. And like, I don't think laulupidu is going anywhere anytime soon. And as long as there's laulupidu and there's Estonian language, I don't think Estonians are going to go anywhere either. Because you can see like similar kind of samples. Eventually, yes, it might happen, but maybe not in this century yet. And not because of the fact that, you know, a lot of foreigners are going to come here. I think if something needs to stay, it will. And maybe a perfect example is like Irish language in Ireland, which is kind of for them, like, is a very cultural thing. There are certain parts of Ireland where people speak Irish, but in schools, the kids learn Irish very, how should I say, they don't enjoy learning Irish because they see it as like a very archaic language that nobody speaks anyway. That's not going to bring them further. And to me, like, the story of Irish language actually felt very close to heart because I was thinking the same thing about Estonian. Like, when is it then when we are going to get to that point where we think that, oh, learning Estonian is stupid? But I don't think that as long as Estonian is spoken from very early on, that kind of thing cannot happen. And as long as we have this like big amount of people that cherish Estonian language and being Estonian, then Estonian can't go anywhere. Like, there's always gonna be Estonians. We're not gonna get extinct. We're not dinosaurs.
Yeah, I feel like one thing that Estonians have is really like sense of proudness of being Estonians.
Yeah.
And for example, when I compare it to people in Belgium, one of the things that I was surprised over there was that when I was like, yeah, I'm proud to be Estonian, they were really like, what? Being Belgian? No, that doesn't mean anything. No, I plan to move away. There are a lot of people who didn't like thought about Belgium not as strongly at all as like in Estonia you do, and they didn't even know the words of the anthem by heart, which was weird for me because I think we have to learn it at our schools by heart like from the first grade or something. But they also have three
languages
exactly, yeah. And so the country is already quite divided, so in my opinion they feel divided in themselves as well and not as connected in the country. So that was like one thing that I started appreciating when living in Belgium, for example, about Estonia.
Yeah, it's really funny. And the older the country, the less connected I think people feel towards it. Estonians have fought a lot to keep their culture going, and I think Estonians will continue to fight a lot to keep their culture and to make it survive. And I think part of it is being open-minded and letting other people come in, but not take over. Like, as long as we speak Estonian, Estonia can't go anywhere. As long as we hold our traditions, it can't go anywhere. Like, I think the national collective or the Estonian collective is the key part here of keeping Estonia alive, regardless of how many foreign people live in Estonia. So, at least that's my opinion about being Estonian.
Yeah.
All right, shall we get on with the part of which we are most excited about, which is the part where we, as Estonians, try to define what certain Estonian things are.
So we're going to continue with some of the example questions that we ask from our guests, and we're going to answer them ourselves. And also, by the way, if you have questions for us or for the guests that you would love to hear some topics or something specific, then you can also get in touch with us through our website, which is found in estonia.ee, just like our podcast.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
Yes. So Kaisa is going to pick first question.
Cool, cool, cool. I like exercises like this, where you never know what you're going to get. Ooh, okay. What do you wish people would know about living abroad?
That sums up pretty much like everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I think essentially if I wrap it up, it's more about the fact that living abroad helps you understand your own country better and helps you appreciate your own country better. At least as an Estonian, this is what living abroad did for me. I appreciate Estonia so much more now than I did before. Mm-hmm. And I see it in a different light than I did before. So I would say that is it. What do you think people should know about living abroad?
I think people should know that living abroad is like, I feel like there are a lot of like young people who after finishing high school and so on, just say that, oh, I'm not going to stay in Estonia. I'm going to go away because it's, the life is so much better over there. But I feel like one thing I wish people would know about living abroad is that life is like, it's pretty like the essential thing of life is pretty similar in each country, and just the details or the traditions or weather is different, but the way life goes, it's still the same. So if you have like some trouble in Estonia or whatever, something is hard and you're gonna move away, then probably if it's thinking you, then you probably are taking it with you.
Yeah, you can't escape from yourself even when you move to another country. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to take a question. Mm-hmm. And that is your favorite Estonian word.
Ooh.
Okay, so my favorite Estonian word is, good question. It's probably,
never had to think about it.
No, but there was something that, for example, viitsima is just a word that I like, those words that are not translatable, or like, how do you say viitsima in English? Like, don't want to, don't feel like it, maybe. Yeah. Or there's some other words like that that you just can't translate. Those are my favorites. But I can't really remember more.
I think one of my favorite words is bai.
But,
yeah, which means essentially it's also one of those words which it's very hard to explain because there is no actual, like, at least in English, it's like to caress someone's head, bai, or to caress somebody, just touch them very gently and lightly without it being purry. And then I really like also de. Yeah, which is like night work, which is like super weird, like, or the, which is like work night, like, what the hell, who comes up with these? And I also like
Okay.
I like not and like everybody keeps on talking about this four as in a row, but in general, it just has this, maybe it's just because I like water and ice and stuff. So yeah, means ice.
Yeah, for me, like when I think about those words, pictures come in my mind. So it's really hard to separate, like, do I like the word itself or do I like the thing behind the word? So if I think about what I like together with behind the word, I would say my favorite word is super easy. It's chocolate. That goes right to the top.
Yeah, it's super weird. I've never had to think about it, like, actually, like in Estonian. But yeah, bai is one of my, like, favorite words, I think. I use it a lot.
Okay, let's do one more.
Okie dokie. Oh, tips for becoming friends with Estonians. Oh, I got this.
Okay, shoot.
Leave them room and space. And be patient. I think patience is one of the things with Estonians in general. Like, one thing that I learned when I was living abroad myself was the fact that in a lot of foreign countries, there's no space left in between conversations because people try to fill in the space in between. So it's like, chat, 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 chat. Everybody keeps on talking and talking. But in Estonia, once you come back here, you notice how quiet everything is. And the reason why it's quiet is because people don't talk all the time. And I think the same can be applied with if you want to become friends with Estonians. Not everybody is very outgoing. Definitely not everybody's like me. So I already have to leave space to other countries as well. But I think in general, like, you need to leave space for Estonians to come out of their shell and give them some time to get to know you. Because deep down, I think all of us are friendly, but we're just a little bit reserved and shy, and it takes a little bit of time to melt the ice. sometimes a vodka shot or going to sauna helps too, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. So if you can't do sauna and a cup of vodka, then no. Then you have to find other ways. Do you have a secret trip?
I agree with those. And I would probably want to add that one thing is like, don't assume that the expression of their face is like equal what they're feeling.
Because
usually, like, I have it super often that I look at the person and I'm like, okay, he doesn't like me, she doesn't like me, she's feeling really bad or something. But then I'm like, okay, never mind, I'm still going to go over and talk to them. And then it turns out that they were like, oh, I was just thinking that I'm not brave enough to go and talk to anybody else or whatever they're like going through. And then it's like, oh, okay, fine. Or they're happy inside, but they don't show it.
Yeah, we have a thing with the emotions. Like, I have most commonly people tell me that I look angry when I'm working because I'm very focused. And my focus face apparently is very angry. So they always think that I'm angry at my computer or work or whatever. But yeah, it's just my focus face. I'm sorry.
And patience, I think, is also a good one that you said. And also, like, be open-minded, I guess. Or, like, don't give up too soon. Yeah, patience. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, well, this, yeah, don't give up too soon. That's fairly certain because some of us really need a lot of time to show their feelings and to warm up. But deep down, it's, yeah, you know, inside an icicle, there's a whole puddle of water. just pretend Estonians are icicles that you need to warm up a little bit.
Nice metaphor. Yeah, I definitely feel like I need a bit more time to melt, but then I think I've gotten like faster with it. So
yeah, I think most Estonians who have been outside of Estonia tend to be a lot more open-minded and get quicker in that melting part as well. Versus the people that are around here, that, you know, they're just used to mostly dealing with other Estonians that don't require them to warm up that much. But one thing I can say, like, with Estonians, once they trust you and once they are your friend, you can count on them. Because I don't think that the patient kind of bears fruit in the end. You will get your berries in the end. You just have to wait around a little bit.
And be friendly with them or with us. Like, I think most, if you're a foreign person and you want to be friends with Estonians, then many Estonians are like used to, or like they're afraid that people are not friendly, I guess. So just being friendly in general is like a good thing.
I know. I would also though tell that it might be controversial. See, hello Estonians, we can't even agree amongst ourselves whether you should be friendly or not. So maybe in this one it's 50-60, because sometimes if you are too friendly with them, well, they will see they will look at you weird. Like, well, if you smile to an Estonian out of the blue, you're going to be considered crazy. Like, completely crazy.
Okay, don't be too friendly, but like little friendly. Tiny smile will do.
Tiny smile, hello, is okay. Just, and then leave them to process. Yeah. That's kind of like, it's like meeting a cat, you know? First you just kind of see whether they want to approach you, and if they don't, just leave them be. Maybe after a while they would come back and you're like, oh, okay, let me see you again.
Okay, so I'm going to take the next one. And this is your favorite thing to do on your free day. That's interesting because, for example, yesterday when I had a free day and the weather was super nice, then I did some stuff at home, and then I just, in the evening, I really enjoyed like going to swimming outside. I went to Vimsi to a smaller beach where I wanted to go to a bit bigger beach with parking spaces, but it was all super full. So I went a bit further and I found a really super nice like beach side. Weather was really nice and warm, for me at least. I do winter swimming as well, so the water is always quite warm for me. But I really enjoy like hanging out on the seaside and going swimming when the weather is nice. And then learning something new or reading a book or listening to a podcast. I'm a big fan of podcasts, by the way.
Oh, surprise!
And meeting up with friends always gives me a lot of energy. So that's something I like to do. Mm. What about you, Kaisa?
What do I do as an Estonian on my free day, or what do I do?
What do you do?
What do I do? Well, most of the time I tend to spend my own free days at home trying to create something, if it's like super free from work stuff and everything else. Or I go bike riding. I really enjoy doing that. Since I live in the city and I don't drive a car, then you won't see me running around in nature all the time. But if I have a chance, of course, I try to escape out of the city as well. But yeah, mostly just hanging with myself. Yellow introversion. This is, I guess, the most Estonian side of me that you're going to see. I enjoy spending time with myself, painting and reading and also watching a lot of Netflix. I think it's a bad habit, but it happens occasionally. And I like a lot of TV series that are have like controversial kind of like subject, like, you know, that is social awareness raising. So I tend to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, podcasts, I don't know. I usually listen to podcasts when I'm working, so I can consider that as part of my free day.
I usually listen to podcasts when I'm walking outside or riding my bike. I really like to ride a bike as well. Or going somewhere, like when I'm on the road of taking a bus to somewhere or something, or going to the city. Then I usually like to have a podcast on background.
It's super weird. I always think that having a podcast in those scenarios kind of like detaches me from the world. It's like when you're riding a bike and you're actually concentrating on, maybe I just can't do, I'm not a multitasker. Maybe I'm not a multitasker.
I can't listen to a podcast while working. That's like distracting.
So for me, it's like focusing. I guess for you, it's just like turning yourself off. Super weird. We're different. Who knew? Not all Estonians are the same. Ooh, okay. My favorite memories while living in Estonia. Okay, this is easy for me because my favorite memories from living in Estonia are from my childhood. When I was a kid, I got to spend all my summers at a place called Surbasaar, which is in one of the islands the biggest island called Saaremaa. Basically, it's essentially the edge of the island, closest to, I think, Latvia. or at least on that side, you will see that when you come to Estonia or when you're already here. And my aunt was there, a lighthouse keeper. So usually what happened when we were kids, we were sent off there for the whole summer to spend the summer with our cousins, play games, and, you know, have the seaside next to you, three different sides, and not a care in the world, just running around, little rebels. And essentially there was nothing else to do other than to play amongst ourselves, get along, or just sit around and do nothing. And it's super weird how having that time as a kid actually changes you later on. So for me, that is like one of the best memories that I can tell about Estonia, in case anybody asks. And Saaremaa, and even like the Saare dialect of Estonian, which is different, by the way, still sticks to me to this day. So essentially when I go back to Saaremaa, I feel like I'm back home.
Yeah, that's so funny, because that's really Estonian thing, that when you mentioned like, oh, your summer home from childhood was in Surbasaar in Saaremaa, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, my grandmother grew up next to it, so also in Surbasaar, not far from your place, like 10 kilometers or something.
Maybe we met as kids, we just don't know it yet.
Maybe, but I didn't really spend time, like, I went there often, but I didn't stay for like entire summers, but my grandmother grew up there, and she had a farm with full like cows and sheep and all the potato fields, so that was my childhood, like going there during summer, helping out with those field works, or hanging out a bit with sheep or chicken.
That
or...
sounds like my worst memory from childhood, the endless potato fields and doing hay, you know?
Doing hay was... Oh my god. That wasn't my favorite memory, but it was a nice memory to have. My favorite memories would be also maybe from my childhood when I was younger, I always went to summer camps during summer, and I really enjoyed it. And there was like one specific one that happened every year. It was organized by someone from my high school, actually. And so there were a lot of the same people every year, and it was really well organized. And there were a lot of like games outside in it, where you had to run and look for different points in the forest and together with a team. And I really loved this camp, and those are really good memories. And maybe from recent times, like during the corona times, the pandemic time, one of my favorite memories or favorite things that I did was in the mornings, I started going to Pirita to this tiny like park forest area where Pirita River is. I enjoyed like walking in the forest, and I found randomly a swing there. I was swinging. I was meditating in the mornings, and then I went to a nice winter swim, and then I went back home and started doing other stuff. But that was like, I really enjoyed having this opportunity in Estonia and in the capital city, like just logging off pretty much.
Yeah, you don't get much of that in New York, I presume. Unless it's Central Park.
Yeah, but actually I was living in Brooklyn, and my favorite... Yeah, I moved a lot, actually. I had like 5 different places where I lived one year.
Okay, which, awesome.
Which seems a lot, but at the end I really enjoyed it, because afterwards I felt like I have 5 different areas where I feel at home.
Yeah.
And my favorite one was just right across Prospect Park, which is the biggest park in Brooklyn, and which also it had like a tiny pond in the middle with water. And then I went running in the morning, and it was just like switching off from the big city, and just so peaceful and so green and so nice. So it has its sides and moments as well.
It's kind of like the what they call like these nature trails here in Tallinn as well.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like if you had never been outside, like in Bascula, you can run around there, or even like at the seaside, like. Where in the world can you, like, so easily approach, in a capital city, the seaside? Like, literally in the middle of the city, you can go and swim.
Yeah, I love that.
You can
that.
Even swim in the sea.
I love swimming, so that's, like,
yeah,
so nice. Okay, but I think we should start wrapping up. It was a really nice episode, so...
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed talking with Kaisa. Kaisa always has really nice inputs and the ways to ask questions.
Oh, thank you.
So that's really nice.
So basically this whole episode is about us cheering each other up.
Yeah, and introducing the podcast and us, so you would get to know us, and we'll be posting new episodes weekly.
I think one part of this, doing this podcast, is the fact that you will be hearing a lot of stories from our lives as well when we are meeting together with these new people. And it's really funny how certain things that people say actually bring up new memories amongst ourselves as well that we have forgotten about, or that we might not see the same way. So I think this is kind of the part, like, even though we really want to share all of our lives with you guys, if there's anything we didn't mention or that you're curious about, feel free to like reach out to us and ask us these questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't mind sharing. Do you mind sharing?
No.
I think we have already proven very well that we are very shareable people. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. And I really hope that after listening to this episode and the upcoming episodes with other interesting people amongst ourselves, you will find something new about us, something new about being an Estonian, something new about living in Estonia, maybe even get curious about living in Estonia. So I just want to bring value and just some knowledge into the world about what being Estonian means, even if it is in English.
Yeah. The more the merrier, then we can have more listeners.
Ah, well, more listeners, missioners. Essentially, it's all about just being more thorough and more understandable. And if you want to bring together foreigners in Estonian, then you can't really expect them to all understand Estonian. Some people just need a little more nudge into learning Estonian. So if it inspires you to learn Estonian, awesome, maybe we can share some of our knowledge about Estonian with you. Mm-hmm. Some tips and tricks where to go and get some lessons, or maybe some of our people who will come and visit the show will tell you what they learned in Estonian, give you tips and tricks how to survive in Estonian, an Estonian winter, an Estonian summer, going to sauna with Estonians, becoming friends with Estonians, going out with Estonians. So I think, yeah, That would be my wish. I hope that this is what will come out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our mission is definitely to inspire and to bring people together.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And I think it's a good place to end it. And see you in the next episode. Bye.
See ya. Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.